You know, I said something about the kids a while ago, and this message that I'm going to give you, I feel just has red lights blinking. It's urgent. It's just a red light alert. And this portion of scripture that I'm going to give you is probably one of my most remembered sermons, and I have four that I can remember when I see people years later, they remember that message, and this is one of them. In fact, the reason this has been in my heart ever since I had lunch with some pastors the other day, and the lady said, you know, she's a pastor's wife now, and she said, I'll never forget your one message you preached about taking the pictures off the wall, and she said it changed my life, and it so assisted me, it still helps me now. And she said, in fact, I used it and ministered to a group of women the other day. There was also a young man in the church, and every time he sees me, he says, Pastor, that message was so powerful to me, I will never forget it. But you know what? He chose to walk another direction, and he walked away from it. And so it's up to us, whatever we do with a message, but I don't even know really what I said about it then. But I know what I've got from the Lord to give you this morning. And I'm going to call this land is my land. Remember that old song? This land is my land. And God has given us a land, and he doesn't intend on anything else except this, that we possess it. He wants us to have it, dwell in it, live in it, and enjoy it. So I want you to turn... let's see here, Kathy, I was going to go to Numbers first, but I think I want to go to Exodus and show you how good God is. Please turn over to Exodus with me. Let's go there first. And God says, look, you're coming into a new place that you've never been. I'm going to be bringing you out of the wilderness. And there's times where we've been in a wilderness, sometimes for months, sometimes for days, sometimes for years. But I'll tell you, when you trust God, you always come through. So God knows ahead. He knows where we're headed and what's going to happen. But I want you to see Exodus 23 and verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Okay, so God is telling them, now I have already prepared a place for you. Now in John, we're also told that there is a place prepared for us. But God said, I am bringing you into this place. I am going to keep thee by the way. So I am sending my angels to keep you in the way. Now, what did we say we're going to fast about? Which way should I take? Okay, so it's all very scriptural. Now, I'm reading from the old King James today, simply called King James Version. I'm going to read out of that because I love the way it talks and the words it uses and expresses when we get into Numbers. So look at verse 23. We're still there in Exodus 23:23. For mine angels shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut those ites off. I will cut them off. Now look, verse 24. And then he gives them some instruction. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor to serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly destroy them and quite break down their images. I want you to go to verse 28. Look at this. I will send hornets. These hornets were about an inch long. Big old hornets. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. And the beast of the field multiply against you. Look at this. But little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you be increased and inherit the land. So God says, just be patient, hold on, and trust me. I have a plan for you. And if I have to send the hornets in, believe me, a hornet an inch long, thousands of them can deliver a nation. They can chase people out just like that. And so God said, I will send them in to help you. So they've got the promise of God. Here's what I will do, but here's what I want you to do. You need to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Now, if you'll turn to me, I will help you. All right, let's go now to where I want to go, to Numbers chapter 33 and verse 50. You need to write this down so you won't forget where it is found or highlighted in your phone or wherever you're looking this morning. I'm going to read, before I say anything, I'm going to read Numbers 33, verses 50 through 56. Don't miss any of this. Listen, if you need to go to the girls' room, guys' room, you should do that now. I don't want you to miss anything after this, because if you get up, it disturbs somebody in front of you. So I don't want you to miss this, all right? Verse 50. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and that dwell therein. For I have given you the land, to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. Is that awesome? And to the more you will give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be by the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. There's a but here. Look at this. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and they shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell, where you live. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do to you as I thought to do to them. Not good. Not good. Because the Bible says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And when God arises, listen, his enemies scatter. And who are his enemies? They're your enemies. And his enemies are your enemies. So you say, well, see, every one of us here, according to what I've just read you, every one of us from the hand of God, not just the Israelis, not just the Jewish people, though the Bible does say that the Jewish nation is written here. It's all written for our example. That's good. It's all for our example. But it's not all about them. It's not about God just giving them a piece of land. God has given every single one of us in this room and around the world who have turned our lives over to him, he has given us a portion of land. He has given us a land. That is your life, your mind, your family, your home, your land, your sons, your daughters, your money, your job, everything, Peter said, that pertains to you. God said, I will perfect that which pertains to you if you will come and stay with me and let me go before you, and I will be with you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So do not fear nor be dismayed. I am with you, saith the Lord. So he has given us everything that we need to maintain our land, because we all have one. Now, what we have just read, these guys were, look at verse 50. This is pretty amazing. I mean, this just, when it talks about the Lord speaking to Moses at the plains of Moab, Jordan, and Jericho, I won't expound, but let me just put that out to you right now. Remember when Ruth and Naomi, there was a famine in the land, and Ruth and Naomi, their husband said, look, we want to go down to Moab. Well, Naomi didn't really want to go, but she followed her husband and went to Moab. And that word Moab means a faraway place. And when they got down there, her husband and both sons died. Okay, so now she's a widow. She's got two daughter-in-laws. One goes with her, one stays home, but they all go back up to Judah, the house of bread. So I just wanted to mention there, God spake to Moses in the plains of Moab. And that's a faraway place. And right now, it seems that America is in a wilderness, a faraway place. Except you and I are not, because we are living in the kingdom of God. Amen? So he spoke to Moses at a faraway place by Jordan near Jericho, saying. Now, Jordan was where Jesus got baptized. So at Jordan is a place where your ministry begins. When a whole new day begins and your eyes come open and you see things and the Holy Spirit comes on you. So God speaks to him at Moab, a faraway place, at the Jordan where your eyes come open, but then there's a Jericho. Richard, you were here Wednesday night, and I bless you. It's good to see you today. And so I would say that God has opened your eyes in a certain area. And when he does that, you're all happy. And sometimes there's a honeymoon period with God when you first get saved. And I mean, you just think about something and it happens. You don't even hardly pray about it, and he just hears your thoughts and it just all lines up. And then after you're saved a while, then Satan comes to you with everything he's got, and you get down to Jericho, and that's where the old beggar was. They stripped him of all of his clothing, you know, and everybody passed him by except the Good Samaritan. But Jericho is a place of warfare. And see, this is where they are. Now they've come to the place of warfare. And God says, okay, you were getting ready to go into the place that I've prepared for you. I've got a land. I've divided this land up with all of you. You've got so much property and some great things ahead. But there's going to be giants in the land. You're going to have to deal with them. And so now you've got Jericho popping up. And it's going to be major warfare. And they really didn't know. But in verse 51, he said, now I want you to speak to the children of Israel, Moses. And say to them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you. Now, I believe that this is symbolic of you and I in this hour in which we live. This was real time for them. But for us, it's symbolic of what you and I must do with our lives as we walk through this journey in the land of Canaan, headed to his land. Hallelujah. Actually, we're in his kingdom now. But when we go home into eternity, there's going to be giants and Hittites and Pezerites and all these to fight. All the ites, they're just a different kind of ite, spiritual and physical, that come against us. And God says to us the same thing. I can't tell you how I feel this morning. When you were passed over into Jordan, into the land of Canaan, good things have happened to us. Man, we live in the kingdom. We're a blessed people. But he said, you're going to have to drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. There's going to be inhabitants around you. And these inhabitants try to move into your mind and take over there. And I'm just telling you, he says, you've got to drive them out. Okay, I wanted to see what drive out means. I was remembering Jesus. When Jesus walked into the temple that day, and the people were merchandising the anointing and merchandising the money and cheating the widows and cheating everybody. And Jesus just walked in and drove them out with a whip, flipped the tables over. He drove them out. And God says, I'm putting you in charge. And now you're going to have to drive them out of your family, your home, your marriage, because believe me, they will come to attack you. And you have the armor of God. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but we have so many weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And we have an angel to go before us. And he said, if I have to send the Chaldeans, I'm not going to go back over that, but I preached that a few weeks ago. Whether it be China or Iran or Russia, he said, I can cause them to be hornets. And the church will think they're horrible, and they are. But if it takes them, I'll have them sweep through the land to bring a mighty outpouring upon my people. You say, how does that work? I have no idea how it works. But he said, you've got to drive them out. What does that mean? It means force them to leave. You have to force them by the power of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus that belongs to you. He said, not just some of them, but you're going to have to drive out all of them. All the old habits. All the luxuries, the little, and I'm not talking about luxuries of a nice home or a car or you know, what brings you joy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the inhabitants. The little habits, the unforgiveness, these things that pile up on us. He said, you've got to drive every single one of them out. My brother used to have a habit. He was smoking, okay? And that was in the days where when you went to church, you didn't cuss, drink, or smoke. And those days, I think, might be long gone, but not really. And so he was still smoking. I had two brothers. One quit smoking when he got saved. The other didn't. He just kept on. And so the brother that didn't, he just kept on, and he smoked until he died. And doctors kept telling him he needed to quit, but he kept on. And he said, I am not hurting anybody but me. Well, why would you want to hurt you? You say, well, this sin I'm doing or this little habit, nobody even knows I'm doing it. It's not hurting anybody, just me. Well, why do you want to hurt yourself? Because Jesus tells us here, God tells us, you have to chase out every single one of the inhabitants and clear out the wickedness and clear out the sin and clear out and leave nothing. The ways, the old habits, the addictions. And then he says, destroy all. Look at this. Drive out the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their pictures. Destroy their pictures. How do you do that? You know, somebody said the other day, their child saw something and they said, you can't unsee that. You can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. I was just watching the news last night. I forget which one it was. And I don't even want to tell you because I'm afraid you might go back and watch it again. And I saw that. I won't even tell you what it was. And my spirit was so grieved. And I saw that. And I'm thinking, how could they put this on the news? And I turned it before it got to the next place. I didn't want to feed that into my spirit. I saw enough. I saw enough of it. And he says, I want you to tear down all those pictures. See, you've still got pictures and images hanging on the walls of your mind. On the walls of your mind, maybe of a past relationship or what your daddy did to you or your mother did to you or what a childhood situation in your classroom or what other kids said about you, a teacher said about you. But we get the pictures on the wall. And he said, he didn't say I need to. He said, you destroy them. How are we going to do that, church? Let me tell you something. That only comes by supernatural power. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can take down those pictures. But you have to be willing to let them go. You can't take that picture like a DVD. I think those are a thing of the past now. But you just if you just continue to put that DVD in your mind and just let it play again and again and again and again, you're not taking the pictures off the wall. But when you take it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, the only time that you are allowed, I believe by the Holy Spirit, and I think I can safely say this, the only time that you're allowed to use that DVD is when you're with somebody and they're hurting. Maybe they were molested from a child, or they went through this, or they went through that, the same thing you go through. then you slip that DVD in and you remember and you see why, so that you can help them. And then you can help them. But you cannot put it in for yourself, because all that will do then is torment your mind. And so that's why God is saying, I want to save you from torment. Take their pictures down. Don't remember that. And if you're remembering it, then that's your problem. You're doing it. You have to replace those thoughts. And God will help you, but it only comes from heaven. This kind of thing is a miracle that only comes into us from heaven. It comes from heaven to earth, into our minds. And I promise you, it will help us. And then he goes farther. In verse 52, he said, first you've got to drive out the inhabitants of your life. Destroy all their pictures. And destroy all their images. That means idols. Everywhere you look today, there are idols being set up. Worship the body. Worship the body. The body is better than anything. Worship the earth. Worship this, worship that. There's gods. The lady from Disneyland said the other day, finally, we are getting to introduce our children to paganism, an idol. And God says, you pluck them out, take their images down. And then he said, destroy. Destroy molten images. Now, if you destroy a little simple example, is if you put an egg in your skillet and you're going to fry it, and how many of you have ever dropped it and the yolk is opened up? Well, it's destroyed. You can never put that yellow back into the egg again. You can't put the yolk back together. And once God destroys something, he will help us do that. You know he has. How many of you say, I know God's destroyed some things in my life that had to go? You know that. And they have never been put back together. See, Satan comes back and says, oh, no, that'll never work. You'll go right back to that thing. But you didn't. Why? Because God destroyed the yoke of bondage. See, he said, by the anointing, I destroy the yokes, hallelujah, of bondage. So we drive them out. We destroy their pictures. We destroy their images. And then look at this. It's so powerful. Destroy all their images and quite pluck down all their high places. You see why I wanted to read this in the Old King James. You pull down those high places. Because let me tell you, Lynn, the reason the anointing came on you and you could hardly sing that song is you were talking about strongholds. And when we know about strongholds, man, they come to just take you down. A stronghold wants to destroy you. But God said, no, I'm in the destroying business. Things don't come to my people to destroy you. I destroy them. And I will do it through your hand. And I will do it through you if you will allow me to. But see, a stronghold becomes a high place. And it has a high place in our minds. And it'll get so high that you think it's totally hopeless. And I don't know if I'll ever get out of this one. I got out of that one, but oh, I don't know about this one. See, that's a stronghold that becomes something, a high place. And God says, no, you give nothing a high place in you. Nothing should have a high place in us but Jesus himself. Amen, church? Nothing. And then he said this in verse 53. Now, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. And you live there. I don't want them to live there. I don't want a habit. I don't want an addiction. I don't want your past. I don't want the ugliness. I don't care if you were jailed or imprisoned or had 25,000 affairs. 10 abortions. He said, I don't want that thing possessing your land. You possess your land. I gave it to you. And I want you to roam free in your land and enjoy everything that I have given to you. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Woo, you dispossess it. You dispossess it. That means, I wrote that down. It means to put out of occupancy. Put it out. You don't live here anymore. I have news for you. You are not with me. you are being abandoned today. You are out. You are an orphan. You are gone. You are not a strange child in my life that I'm going to raise up and pamper. I pampered you, and I felt sorry for you, and I've made myself a victim because you came up into high places in my life. I became a victim, and I didn't know what to do with myself, and I had millions of pity parties, and I'm so tired. God, my mind is tired. My mind is drained. A young man said to me, last year he came to talk, and he said, you know what? He said, that person just drains me. I said, then why are you staying with her? Why? Because I love her. You do? Does she love you? No, she uses me. I said, I got a sermon about an unwanted boyfriend. And God said, I don't want to be treated like an unwanted boyfriend. So we just use him when we need him. But you want someone that loves you back. And God said, I want relationship with you. And we've got all this land that I'm giving you. And I want you to have so much land that you can go ahead and divide it with your children and your children's children and your love and your family and your money. And it just all lines up. But you're going to have to dispossess. You're going to have to put those inhabitants out. Or they will suck you dry, like the man said. Now, when you demolish these things and you destroy, you begin to tear them out, a lot of hindrances in your life begin to leave you. You say, yeah, but my mother had this condition and my dad had that condition. I think it's Marilyn Hickey. She is one of the wisest women in the world. She has touched the world with her teachings. She's almost 90 years old, still going strong. But did you know her mother had been in a mental institution? Now see, she could have let that become a stronghold in her and say, I will never accomplish anything because of who my mother was. No, God wasn't going to have that because Marilyn didn't have it. So these strongholds, I mean, it could be anything from TV to internet to friends to Facebook to Instagram, to any of those things, and there's really nothing wrong with them unless you just take too much of your time with it. And then that becomes your God. And he said, you're going to have to let those gods go, tear down their images. You're spending too much time. How are we going to do it? By the renewing of our mind and the word. Ugh, I got to go. God says they've got to go. They just have to go. Now, here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 55. Please don't forget this. Underline this. Score it. Look. But if you will not, say, if you will not, drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you. Look, then, when it says if you don't, then, that means I'm going to do something. If you don't drive the inhabitants out of the land, then it will come to pass that those which you let remain, you let them stay in your house, you let them stay in your mind, you let them stay secretly inside you, then that which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. It's like a perforation. I think it was Webster definition, set a stab in your eye. If you let it stay, it will, and remain, it will be pricks in your eyes. Look, thorns in your side, that would be pretty miserable. And shall vex you. Vex you in the land where you live. Vex means, listen, vex. Vex in your land. It means to trouble you, to annoy you, to stress you out, to irritate you, or to worry you. We hate all of those things. I mean, we just hate them all. We hate to be annoyed. We hate to be troubled. We don't want to be worried. We don't like to be distressed, irritated. We don't like any of it. And yet God said in the book of Hebrews, I've got riches, honor, and life in my hand. And that's what the world seeks after. The world and the church. We seek after riches, honor, and life. He said, I've got it for you, but it's all in your land. If you drive, look at that. If you don't, then they're going to hit your eyes, your vision. You won't have the vision you used to have. They'll come against your side. You'll be miserable and vex you in your land. That means in your family, in your marriage, in your home, in your mind, in your church, in your school, in your life, in your career, in your job, in your money. Verse 56, moreover, it shall come to pass that I'll do to you as I thought to do to them. And if we went over to Judges chapter 10, I'm going to save time. But if we went over to Judges 10, you would see that Israel chose not to. They just did not have the nerve to stand up and be steadfast in who they were. They wanted to compromise, and they wanted to fit in. And I'm going to tell you, if you begin to compromise with anything that is called sin, when you begin to compromise with something that God is not pleased with, I'm telling you, it will vex the very land that you live in. And it's just plain not worth it, church. It's just not. Now, remember, he promised them help. He said, I'll send a hornet. I'll send the angels before you. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord. He goes before you. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. So what are we going to do? You say, then how are we going to do this, Pastor? I mean, give me a solution. What are we going to do? Well, look, I don't know of any of us that have conquered everything, but we're sure we work at it every day. It's like there's something new. And we work at it in our nation, and we work at it in our lives. But the greatest thing I can say that I've learned over these years is to grow in Jesus. Is stay close to him, church. Stay close. Do what you can, but stay close to him. Stay close. In the Song of Solomon, the woman fell in love with the king, and she says, tell me, where do you feed your sheep at noonday? And he said, honey, stay near the shepherd's tent. Stay near the shepherd's tent. It's glorious. It's strength. This is the shepherd's tent right here. Jesus is a great shepherd. He said, stay near my tent and grow in Jesus. Drink from him, church. He said, if any of you thirst because you don't have enough of this or enough of that or this or that, come to me and drink. And then I'll tell you, just get up and get dressed in the armor of God every day. Get up and get dressed. And do not compromise with sin. That's a good one to keep you in charge. And these inhabitants are not taking over your land. You cannot talk to them. You cannot talk to the devil. Listen, my brothers, they used to play marbles. And they played for keeps. You all remember that. And they get to keep that marble if they hit it, I think, or knocked it in the hole. The devil plays for keeps. You think, I can rub shoulders with this thing. I'm not going to go all the way in. I'm just going to drop my friend off at this wild party. I'm not. You know what? I'll just go in and see how it's going. You think you can do that? Oh, the Bible says if you take fire to your bosom, it's not wise. Listen, you may trust yourself. You may trust your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife. But you cannot trust the devil. He's a mean devil. And you be careful. What inhabitants that don't even talk to them. Now, our old man died when we got saved, but he'll try to raise up. He'll try to get up. He'll try to resurrect himself. And it's a little easier for him to do that if you're hanging out with the wrong people. Watch out who you run with. Don't make the old man, the old woman, your good friend, because they'll rub off those things. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, church, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of all the strongholds. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me today. I'm going to stop right there. Lord, when Paul went into Corinth, it was pretty much like America today in about chapter 10. And he was telling them to come out from among them and be separate. It was the same story. And he was introducing them to the resurrection power of Jesus. And it is the resurrection power of Jesus that keeps us, church. And this morning, we've had the glory of God come in waves. through this word and through the worship. And you must believe what he spoke today, that the glory just settles down over us and takes you to a new place. We walk unafraid, Lord. And yet this is a day where fear and despair is trying to rise up against so many people. But Lord, I pray we take this message we have heard today and stand tall and unafraid. And those that are afraid, may we give this message to them and say, drive them out. They have no right in your mind. Drive them out. No right in your mind. I'm just going to ask you right here to lift your hand up and let me see it. If you say, Pastor Paulette, you know what? I feel like I've been overtaken by inhabitants in my land. They've come against my home, my mind, my kids, my marriage, my money, everything that I have. I know they have. God never wastes a message, and he never dangles it in front of you to do nothing. He always does something with it. But it's also up to you to do something with it. So while every head is bowed, I'm just going to pray for these right there where they are. And many of the rest of you, I want you to pull the lights down just a bit. And I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now with these. And say, Dear Jesus. Say it like you mean it. Dear Jesus. Renew my mind. I give you my life, my mind, my land. It's yours. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't need any of it. I want every inhabitant to go. Please take down. Help me to take them down. The pictures on the walls of my mind that still torment me from something in my past. I am not that anymore. So I am taking out that DVD. I'll never put it in again until I use it to help somebody else. Father, we have committed that to you today. And I pray, Lord, that you will send in the hornets. The angel goes before my brother and sister to prepare the way that you have designed for us. We call this a day of blessing. In Jesus' name. If you would like to come and bow at the altar, you can do that. If you want to bring yourself to the altar, just come and kneel down at the altar. You're free to do that. We're a church that believes in prayer. You can help yourself anytime you want to the altar of God. I want you to sing that, Lynn. Sing it through once for us before we go. And I'm just going to say, Selah, think on these things. Could you just lift your hands and praise him? And receive your land. And tell him, Lord, I want to live to the very fullest that I can live in the land you've given me. I want everything, Lord, that you said I could have. Help us, Lord, to divide our land with our families. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you. Pull up the lights, Brother Rick. Well, may the Lord bless you all and keep you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance towards you, and give you peace in your home, your mind, your life, your finances, your emotions, your marriage, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Blessings to all of our guests. We're glad you're here. Please shake hands with somebody that you didn't know and let them know that you're glad they were at Landmark.